Good afternoon. Illinois Appellate Court, First District Court is now in session. The Sixth Division, the Honorable Justice Sanjay T. Taylor presiding, case number 24-0229, Sam's West Inc. versus County of Cook.
Good afternoon. My name is Sanjay Taylor. I'm the presiding judge of the Sixth Division of the First District Appellate Court. I'm joined this afternoon by my colleagues, Justice Michael B. Hyman and Justice Carl Anthony Walker. If I can have counsel introduce themselves, starting with Appellant's counsel, and also for Appellant's counsel, please let me know how many minutes of your 20 minutes you'd like to reserve for rebuttal. And then Appellee's counsel will have 20 minutes as well. So if Appellant's counsel can introduce.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ken Ulrich, Special Assistant State's Attorney for Defendant's Appellant, and I would like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal this afternoon.
Okay, good afternoon, Mr. Ulrich, and Appellee's counsel.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. Paul Hughes of McDermott, Will & Emery for Appellee, Sam's West.
Okay, good afternoon, Mr. Hughes. Okay, Mr. Ulrich, we'll begin.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Under the plain language of Cook County's tobacco tax ordinance, Sam's Club had the duty to collect the cigarette tax from its retailer members upon their receipt of cigarettes within Cook County. By selling unstamped cigarettes to retailers within Cook County, Sam's failed in its duty to serve as tax collector and trustee for and on behalf of the county. Now, Sam's Club tries to divert the court's attention through repeated references to its, quote, perfect documentation, which is in fact nothing more than repurposed retail sales tax documents, stating nothing more than the goods sold by Sam's are being sold for resale. Sam's also tries to excuse its failures by focusing on—
Mr. Hughes has disappeared. We want to make sure because you should appear.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sam's also tries to excuse its failures by focusing on hypothetical sales of stamped cigarettes by its retail members to out-of-county consumers in order to conjure up a series of straw man statutory and constitutional arguments that don't even apply to Sam's. And its own testimony is that no such sales ever took place.
Why don't you give us your best argument for why we should reverse?
Your Honor, under the plain language of the imposition clause, which is section 433A of the ordinance, the tax is imposed upon all cigarettes possessed for sale and upon use of all cigarettes in the County of Cook. It is essentially an in rem tax that must be examined for each of the three relevant sets of sales. Now, the Bloom Court, and there's a lot of ink on our party's respective briefs about the Bloom decision from 1972, interpreting the Cook, I'm sorry, the virtually identical and patterned after Chicago tax. Bloom's says cigarettes are typically used when they are received by the purchaser at the time of sale in Chicago. And it's important to note that the Bloom Court was dealing with two sets of sales, the sales from wholesaler to retailer and the sales from retailers to consumers. Now, why does a definition of use, which is really critical to this case, Your Honor, not include possession for sale, which is an issue that Sam's focuses on? Because receipt and possession for sale are dramatically different things, but some of the other ways that the definition of use describes use sounds close to possession for sale, which alone is not sufficient for imposition of the tax. Receipt is an event that requires two parties, a seller and a buyer, and a transaction between them, a sale. Possession, on the other hand, is possession for sale only requires one party and a storage area. Now, I'd like to address the parties' respective views on the imposition of the tax. The county's view is simple and straightforward. The first sale, which is from the distributor, McLean, to Sam's Club. Sam's pays by purchasing stamp cigarettes from McLean at a price that includes the cost of the stamps, thereby meeting the requirements of 433A, F, and H. The second sale, and this is the sale that is critical because this is the sale that is at issue with respect to this audit. That is a sale from Sam's Club, the wholesaler, to its retailer members. Sam's retailer members pays by purchasing stamp cigarettes from Sam's Club at a price that includes what Sam's paid the distributor, McLean, thereby, again, meeting the requirements of 433A, F, and H. The third sale is the hypothetical sale out of county of stamp cigarettes to consumers. No one would pay that tax, and there would be no duty to collect because the tax does not apply to that sale, which is outside of the county. Now, in
so, Mr.
contrast,
Ulrich, your position is that with respect to this hypothetical that forms the basis of this lawsuit, that Sam's is obligated to collect the county's cigarette tax from every purchaser, whether they intend to, every reseller, whether the reseller intends to resell in Cook County or outside of Cook County. But with respect to those resellers who sell cigarettes outside of Cook County, they would then have to apply for a refund. Is that what you're saying?
Well, Your Honor, first of all, the documentation, all that shows is that they intend to resell and they intend to resell.
Put that aside for the moment. Let's just assume that that the facts are that all these folks resold outside of Cook.
Well, Your Honor, as a practical matter, there would never be a sale to a consumer of stamped cigarettes outside of Cook County. The record is clear. It never happened and it never would happen because no out-of-county retailer would ever pay what is currently $3 a pack more for stamped cigarettes than unstamped cigarettes, which to the consumer are of equal value. They don't smoke, they don't taste any different because they have a stamp on them. So as a practical matter, it just would never happen. And importantly, if you look at the ordinance as a whole, what should have happened in order to avoid the plain application of the tax? There were options that Sam's Club had. Rather than delivering all of the cigarettes at issue in this case at their Cook County locations and thereby falling within the clear scope of the imposition clause, they could have chosen to deliver the cigarettes outside the county. And Section 434 specifically contains an exemption from that for such sales. In addition, the retailers, to the extent that they actually sold cigarettes outside the county, had the
option.
You're
saying that if they deliver outside the cigarettes to retailers outside the county, then they don't need to collect the cigarette tax from those retailers. Is that right?
That is correct, Justice Taylor, and that is one of two specific exemptions to
how would the retailer know that or how would Sam's Club know that the retailer is not going to then turn around and sell them in Cook County?
Sell unstamped cigarettes in Cook County?
Yes.
Or stamped cigarettes? If the retailer purchases stamp cigarettes, then it is appropriate for them to resell in Cook County. If they purchase unstamped cigarettes and they deliver those cigarettes outside the county, they are tax-free. If they purchase unstamped cigarettes and the retailers sell those cigarettes in Cook County, then that's tax evasion because there would be a requirement that they sell and they pay the tax. So the point is, under the imposition clause, you look at that sale from Sam's Club to its retailer member. Did that sale take place in Cook County? it's undisputed that every single one of the sales at issue took place in Cook County. Possession for sale and receipt in Cook County. That triggers the tax. And again, the tax could have been avoided. This is all of Sam's own doing and its retail members' doing, because all they had to do was one of the two exemptions that's applicable under Section 434. And again, we would encourage the court to view this in a the ordinance in a holistic sense. And if
Mr. Early, why wouldn't it be an extraterrestrial tax if they are required, they're asking them, the retailer, to pay this tax, and the retailer is not going to sell the cigarettes in Cook. They're going to be sold somewhere else. Why wouldn't it be? Why is that any different from when the city of Chicago said that if you rent a car and you drive it in the city of Chicago, then that's enough to tax you just because you drove on the roads in the city of Chicago?
It's not an extraterritorial tax, because that sale that you're referring to, from the retail member to the consumer, if that takes place outside of Cook County, we have no dispute with that. That is not, the tax does not apply. So it is not applied extraterritorially. The tax is only applied to transactions that are entirely Cook County centric, where you have possession for sale and use both within Cook County. If it's outside of Cook County, it is simply not taxed.
So you have a bright line, really, rule here, in that where the two sides may differ is that if the cigarettes are delivered out of the county by the wholesaler to the retailer, then there's no tax. But if the retailer goes into Cook County, takes possession and drives out of the county, and that is taxed as a possession and use, correct?
That is correct. And Your Honor, that's based upon, in contrast to the county's view, what Sam's Club view of receipt is. According to Sam's, receipt and possession for sale are the same thing, because they argue that they happen together, that once there is receipt by the retailer, then they are possessing them for sale. So what they do is they wait and they say the only time there is receipt is the very last sale from retailer to consumer. And only if that happens in Cook County is the tax triggered. And then we look back and say, because the tax is triggered on the third of the three transactions, we're now going to go back and impose the obligation on Sam's Club to collect retroactively. In other words, looking at the last transaction, working backwards to the first transaction, which, Your Honor, is the exact opposite of the way stamp taxes work. It is the way standard resale taxes work, where all you're looking for, and this is all that's in the Sam's Club documentation, is that the last sale is for resale. So the sales tax applies. So essentially, Sam's Club is treating this tax as if it is a standard sales tax, which it very much is not. And I'd like to note, Your Honors, that when the audit commenced, all sales of cigarettes from Cook County, Sam's Club, to out-of-county retail members stopped. And the testimony of Sam's Club's manager from Streamwood, Mr. Thomas Vindanzio, I think is important to note, and this is at record, common law record, 3965-67. He testified that as a result, the Streamwood store, that's one of just one of 11 stores, lost $30 million a year in revenue. In other words, by failing to comply with the ordinance, not only during the audit period, but for potentially decades before, that's an example of the kind of economic benefit.
Yes, since you raised that the audit from 1993, it's my understanding that the county decided that Sam's Club didn't owe those taxes. And now you come back with the audit of 2016 and you're saying that not only do they owe the taxes from for the last several years, but all the way back to the beginning of time. And it just seems, I don't know, something about it just seems troubling for me. So help me with that.
Well, first of all, Your Honor, it's not to the beginning of the time. It is the audit period, which is, as Your Honors are aware, goes back to 2009. And Sam's Club has had the benefit of the economic benefit of selling unstamped cigarettes this whole period of time. As to the 1990s audit, all that happened in the 1990s audit, because the county was only auditing sales from at wholesale, meaning from wholesaler, Sam's Club, to retailers, where the retailer supplied a Cook County address. The record is clear that it took Sam some time. This is before they were particularly efficient with the use of computers to come up with those addresses. When ultimately they came up with the 144 cartons of cigarettes, two sales total, that were sold by Cook County stores to consumers that supplied out-of-county addresses, that was removed. The county never said that's not taxable. That they were removed because that was not what they were auditing. And in any event, in order for the 1990s audit to even be meaningful from a due process standpoint, as raised by Sam's Club, there would have had to have been a change in substantive law, change in the law, or change in rules and regulations that were promulgated by the Department of Revenue. It's undisputed that there were no rules and regulations promulgated by the Department of Revenue. And the only relevant change in the law would be the 2006 amendment that required registration and also permitted the tax-free sales that I referred to.
So really the only change has been the county's interpretation, right?
I don't believe that there was a change in the interpretation. But in any event, if there was a change in the interpretation, it was not an interpretation of a rule or regulation by the department. But again, there was no, in the 1990s audit, and it's very difficult to glean what happened from a decades-old audit. Sam's Club was able to go back to its law firm at the time. They dug up the file. It's a very, very lengthy file, as you might imagine. And there are a few pieces of paper, and there's one piece of paper in particular that they focus on. And there are absolutely no witnesses that can shed any light on beyond really what I'm saying, which is those 144 cartons were never the subject of the audit, which was intended to look at where those cigarettes ultimately would end up in terms of consumers, because there was concern at the time of tax evasion.
So I see it as a change in the county's interpretation, but obviously you disagree with that. Is that correct?
Your Honor, not only do I disagree, because that interpretation was not at issue in the 1990s audit, but in addition, what we have is a statutory provision. And if you were to permit if Sam's position was correct, no taxing body could ever dispose of audit records, because parties could go back 20, 30, 40 years and say, there was an audit involving me, or maybe even an audit involving a different taxpayer, in which the enforcing department, in this case the Department of Revenue, took a position that is different than they are taking today. And I would point, Your Honor, to two cases that we cite, the Sacco Industries case and the Mr. Car Wash case, which directly addresses this issue. And it says, as to the Mr. Car Wash case, although the records indicate that the Chicago office of the department, that's Department of Revenue, made a mistake, she goes so far as made a mistake in allowing this deduction that did not stop the department from collecting revenues rightfully that belong to the state because the plaintiff relied upon the prior audit. So even if there was a change in the position from an audit in the 1990s to an audit in 2016, it wouldn't matter.
Well, it may matter.
The county is entitled, I'm sorry.
It may matter to the extent that their argument is that the ordinance is ambiguous. And maybe it is. And that's why there was a change in the county's interpretation of the ordinance.
Your Honor, we submit the ordinance was not ambiguous. And the testimony concerning the facts surrounding the 2016 audit are that beginning in around 2012, the Department of Revenue beefed up its staff. It brought in more auditors. Around 2014, the head auditor, Mr. Jaime Rodriguez, heard from other wholesalers that were also not delivering. Hey, you should go look at Sam's Club. They do the same thing. They initiated an investigation. They went to a store and then to a second store to make sure this was a pattern and saw unstamped cigarettes. And Mr. Rodriguez asked the question, are you delivering these cigarettes outside of the county? Because that would have been fine. That would have not triggered the tax. And he was told, no, we do not deliver. They are received by the retailer members here at our location inside the county. That triggered the tax, hence the audit, and that's why we're here today.
Thank you, Mr. Ulrich. Mr. Hughes.
I would just note
Mr. Ulrich,
that.
Can you hear me, Mr. Ulrich?
I'm sorry?
I don't know if you can hear me, but your
time. I can't quite hear you. I'm sorry.
Your time is up.
Oh.
So I'm going to turn to Mr. Hughes.
Okay. Thank you. I did hear that. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Good afternoon, Your Honor. May it please the court. Paul Hughes for Sam's West. This case presents a single legal question, the scope of the Cook County tobacco tax. And as I'll principally talk about today, we think the circuit court got the construction.
Mr. Hughes, I'm having difficulty
correct.
Hearing you. Can my colleagues hear Mr. Hughes?
Barely right now.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I can try speaking louder. Is this better?
Yes.
My apologies, Your Honor. This case presents a legal question, the scope of the Cook County tobacco tax. And my principal submission today is that the circuit court got the construction completely correct. Before turning to that, though, I want to stop for a moment because we think ultimately the county is seeking an unjustified windfall. I think we've actually found one point that I agree with my colleague on. He said earlier that if the county had announced their interpretation of this ordinance earlier, none of the economic activity at issue here would have ever occurred.
So, Mr. Hughes, are you suggesting that they did change their interpretation of the ordinance? Is that what happened?
Yes, Your Honor. And I think there are multiple ways to arrive at that conclusion. The first is the 1990s audit, and there are multiple documents. It's not simply one. There's a letter from 1995 and a letter from 1996, both from the county that describe the county's own interpretation, explaining that cartons that are exactly in these circumstances were excluded. There was the 1999 letter that closed out the audit where Sam's told the county, this is exactly what we're going to do for our tax going forward without any objection. The county has long known about this. There's testimony from Mr. Warnock, who is the manager of the investigators, who said that there was a change in the county's policy. He testified to that explicitly, that in 2016, from how he was trained, the county's interpretation of the ordinance was it was changed in 2016. Now, my friends prefer the testimony of Mr. Jaime Rodriguez, an auditor, but Mr. Rodriguez's testimony is, I think, consistent because he says they were debating, they were arguing over the interpretation, and they ultimately came to a conclusion that was adverse to Sam's Club that,
So
if
you would
applied.
not disagree with Dixon versus the United States Supreme Court case regarding the commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service can has broad powers to correct mistakes of law and enforce changes in legal positions. That was in
I
19
think there,
law for a long time.
I think I have a few responses to this. The first is, I think it's important framing aside from the legal value of this that none of the economic activity would have occurred here. And we think we have the correct construction of this. The second point, though, is
By
this.
that, what do you mean by that? What you just said. What do you mean?
I think it shows the equities, Your Honor. The equities, I think, weigh heavily
What
against the county.
we just heard that all you had to do is deliver the cigarettes out of county, and there's no tax, Cook County tax. So, and the ordinance actually provides for that. So, I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, Your Honor, I think let me talk in a moment about the use provisions because we don't think any tax is imposed here under the plain text because there's no use. But to stay on Your Honor's thread about Dixon and the implications here, I
Can you stop for a moment? I don't see Mr. Ulrich on the video. Mr. Ulrich, are you there?
Yes, I am here. I was just at a side table. If you'd prefer, I'll stay on camera.
I just want to make sure you're here.
I am. I'm
Okay,
hearing
if
it
you want
loud
to,
and clear.
okay, thank you.
Thank
Go ahead,
you.
Mr. Hughes.
But Your Honor, just to, before turning back to the statutory interpretation, I think this is heavily relevant to the taxpayer canon because I think the worst case scenario for our position is that there could be ambiguity here that's reflected by the notion that the county has changed its position quite extensively. There's testimony they've changed the position.
But it's
The
not a
audit
position.
shows.
If the statute says one thing, we're looking at this. It's a de novo, right? And we're looking at the law. It's a question of law, isn't it?
It is a question of law,
Or
Your
a
Honor, but I
question
think.
of, is it ambiguous or not? But it's a question of law, and so we have to enforce the law. And even if the county, way back when, if they may have said something else, that is not what the case law, including the Illinois case law, says with regard to a legal interpretation of a tax statute. Is it? Give me a case that says that Dixon was wrong.
Your Honor, let me argue that, get to this in a couple of ways. I want to talk about Illinois telephone in just a moment because I do think that answers your question directly. But before I finish the point, I do want to focus on the taxpayer canon because the fact that the Circuit Court Judge Stanton agreed with our construction, this was the construction that prevailed for decades. I think the worst.
But we don't care about what the circuit court did, right? We don't look at that. We look at what the ALJ did. I mean, I read it, the arguments and his order, very lengthy order. But we don't look at that, right? We look at what happened to ALJ, right?
Your Honor, in considering whether or not it's so unambiguous that the canon would not apply, I think it's relevant that the circuit court thought we were just correct about the statute because in order
Again, that's not the law, though, is it? I mean,
it is under the
if we
canon,
have
Your
to
Honor, if
follow,
there.
there's no need for us to follow what the court did. We look at what the ALJ did.
Yeah, I agree. The question is what the ALJ did. The point I'm making, I think, is a bit different than that, which is to say, again, and let's move in a moment to what the text of the statute or the ordinance says. But my supposition here, my proposition is that I think the worst case scenario is there's ambiguity, which is reflected by the county's own conduct. And in the circumstance of ambiguity, which is also, I think, reinforced by Judge Stanton's decision, there would be the imposition of the taxpayer canon, which is why I think this history that we've discussed is relevant.
But they're
But
not
to
a
your
taxpayer. You're not a taxpayer. Your client is not a taxpayer. They're tax paid by the consumer, right?
Your Honor, I think there's never been an argument, a suggestion the taxpayer canon doesn't apply in this context. This is one of the many problems they're imposing with penalties and interest over $300 million worth of taxes. So it is taxes that are being
That's because
imposed.
the law, if the law imposed the tax, it should have been paid. So let's go to the ordinance. Now, your client is a wholesale tobacco dealer. No dispute about that.
Yes, Your Honor, we've agreed that that's a wholesale tobacco dealer.
Okay, so now let's determine what are these outside retail dealers that come to Cook County to purchase cigarettes in bulk from your client. They're not consumers, and they're not wholesalers, and they're not wholesalers, and they're not manufacturers. Are they retail tobacco dealers?
Yeah, I think, Your Honor, the county has made the argument, and it's central to the county's argument that they are retail tobacco dealers. They make this point very robustly in their
I
brief
understand
at
that.
page
That's
nine and
not my
note
question, though.
three.
I know that they do. I'm asking you. I don't. We're looking at this de novo. So the question is that the way you read the retail tobacco dealer definition?
Yes, Your Honor, I think this is a point of common agreement between us and the
Okay, then
county.
let's investigate that. It says in the County of Cook, a person who engages in the business of selling cigarettes in the County of Cook. How can an out-of-county retailer engage in the business of selling cigarettes in the County of Cook?
You know, I think there are a few responses to this. The first is, if that position is correct, I think the county's argument falls apart because there would be no collection obligation under 433B, or sorry, there would be the stamp requirement under 433B would not apply because there would be no retail tobacco dealer, and the collection clause under 433F, which provides the chain up from the ultimate seller, requires collection from retail tobacco dealers. So if these sellers are not retail tobacco dealers, the county just, I think, loses, which is
We'll get
why
to
they
that.
agree with us in their
We'll get to that.
construction.
Or maybe not. We'll get to that in a moment. What other argument do you have?
Yeah, I think it's arguable, and I think this is the county's argument, is that the act
I want
of
your argument. I don't want the county that way. I want your argument.
Your Honor, my argument is, well, first I'll say I win either way, but the point that I think the county has made is that receiving in Cook is part of the selling activity. And so that nature of the receipt, this is their argument as to why there is activity by the retail tobacco dealer. And I agree with them. There is receipt as receipt. The problem is it's a special kind of receipt. It's receipt for sale or possession, but there
Well,
is the
it's a
receipt that's
receipt by
occurring.
it says in the business of selling in Cook County. With regard to statutory interpretation, that in the County of Cook is talking about the business of selling cigarettes. It's after that 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 clause comes and before to a consumer. So it's definitely not related to the consumer. It's related to selling, the business of selling. So if we find that the business of selling is not is the way you're describing it or the county's describing it, then they are not a retail tobacco dealer under that definition. Would you agree?
And I just want to be clear. I think I'm a bit agnostic to this point because if that's the view the court takes, then there is no tax that's owed at all. And I think this is
Well,
why the
we'll get
county
to
has
that
taken the
now.
opposite
Let's
position.
go to the next question because there is another word that we haven't talked about. What is a purchaser?
Was a purchaser? I think the purchaser, Your Honor, is
Under the definition.
described here as the consumer. It is
No, it is
the,
not the consumer because
well,
listen, let me read it. It doesn't say that. It says a buyer of cigarettes and other tobacco products, including but not limited to. So it's not the consumer. It says including retail tobacco dealers, which is defined, cigarette manufacturers, which is we know what that is, and that's an and or consumers. So it is not. It says those three is limited but not exclusive. There are others as well. Doesn't that what it says?
sorry, Your Honor. I thought we were talking about the quote from Bloom, which I think
No,
is
I'm talking
distinct from
about the
this.
definition right there in the audience.
Yeah,
Order.
yes, Your Honor. But the point of use, and this is where
Well,
the
let's before we get to the
definition.
point of your use, because we all agree that there was use in possession. Don't you agree there was use in possession in Cook County?
Use has to be a special kind of use. It has to be the use to the consumer, which is what
Oh,
Bloom says explicitly.
we'll get to that in a second, but let's assume that there's use in possession. Then the question is, what happens to the purchaser?
Well, to be clear, Your Honor, I don't assume that there's use. I mean, our
We'll get to
principal
that. We'll get to
point is
that.
that there's no use under the ordinance's definition of use.
Okay.
There has to be use by the consumer of the cigarettes
Well, I
for it to
don't
be.
declare to say that the use must be on behalf of the consumer.
Your Honor, that is what, in terms of the use ordinance, when you read this in connection with Bloom, which was looking at, as my friend said, materially identical language, what Bloom says is the reason that this statute is constitutional is because it's not an occupation tax that is imposed on anybody up the stream. It is a tax that has to be imposed on the ultimate consumer of the cigarette. It is the when the cigarette leaves the commercial chain, it has to be that in order for this not to be an
That's
occupation
not what
tax.
the
And
statute,
this
that's
isn't an
not
open
what we're
question.
saying.
Bloom decided that.
No, it didn't decide this question on use with this def those, these definitions in this situation. Okay, so use means any exercise of a right or power, actual or constructive, and shall include, but is not limited to, receipt. So we have receipt, storage, or any keeping or retention for any length of time. So if you take delivery in Cook County, that's receipt and keeping retention for any length of time. So that goes to, it shall include possession for sale for a retail dealer, that's not the consumer, retail cigarette manufacturer or wholesale dealer as defined in this article. So it doesn't say anything about, it has to be the consumer. It says something other than that.
I think that that's fundamentally contrary to how the statute works as Bloom construed it, because in order for it to not be an occupation tax, it is a consumption tax on the person who ultimately smokes the cigarettes. And
No,
that's the only
that's
way
not
to
a way.
reconcile
It doesn't
this.
need to be used that way because there is an out, and that out was that you take delivery in the county from which you come, if you're from out of the county. But let's look more specifically.
Still, no, in that scenario, Your Honor, there's no use within the ordinance's definition of use. So there
Yes,
has to
I'm
be the
just
use by
not.
the consumer.
There is a, though it does. That's what you say. Okay. I don't see it that way because the word consumer is not even in that definition. There, the word consumer is, doesn't appear there at all. Okay. So let's go to 433F and let's see what that says. Any wholesale tobacco dealer, that's your client, shall collect a tax levied by this article from any purchaser to whom the sale of said cigarettes, other tobacco products, and so forth, is made within the County of Cook and shall be remit the county the tax levied in this article. It says any purchaser, capital P. Why is it capitalized?
Sorry,
Because
any
I'll answer my
purchaser?
question. It capitalized because it refers to the definition, which is a purchaser. Why else would the word purchaser be here? Tell me, what does the definition of purchaser have to do with anything if it has something to do here, right? It's got to have some reason for existence.
Your Honor, I think what's critical is the next sentence. Any retail tobacco dealer and retail cigarette manufacturer shall also collect the tax from any consumer to whom the sales of cigarettes, other tobacco products, and consumable products is made within the County of Cook. And then this is, you
That's
have
not,
to
but
read
that's
this.
not the situation. The purchaser is in the first sentence. That's a
But Your Honor,
disconnect. That's a
can we go back
disconnect.
for a second to 433A, the imposition clause? Because I think I didn't give you a full, complete answer on the imposition clause, which is, again, agreement with the county is what
No,
necessarily.
but my question to you is, where do you see the definition in the word purchaser being relevant to anything? What does it mean? It's here for a reason, okay? You agree with that? You have to agree with that, right?
I mean, this is a broad ordinance that uses
No,
purchaser
no, no, no.
throughout.
It's
I'm
not a
focused.
broad argument. It's very specific. It defines purchaser and it uses that word twice. This is the most, why do they put in this word purchaser? Why do they define purchaser?
Yar, can
Because,
we go back just
no, I
can
don't
you let
want to
me
go
get
back. I want to know why purchaser is there.
Yeah, there's broadening effects, but the
It's not
consumer
a
is
broadening
ultimately the
effect.
person who has to pay the tax. And if I can explain the answer to that, I'd like to.
Go ahead.
So under 43, 433A, which is the provision that defines the imposition of the tax. It says the use of all cigarettes within, it says the ultimate incidence of and liability for payment of said tax to be borne by the consumer of said cigarette. This is what the imposition clause itself says. It is the consumer, the person who is going to smoke the cigarette, who takes it outside the retail chain, who must have the ultimate burden of the tax. And that has to be the case under Bloom because it can't be taxed up the chain or it's an occupation tax. And it has to be taxed on a smoker within Cook County or else it's an improper extraterritorial tax. The
That's
problem
not
is the cap.
necessarily true under, as I understand, what an occupation tax. In fact, doesn't the statute even say it's not an occupation tax? It makes it specific or not. It's not.
It says that throughout. And the way that it's actually, the ordinance can't overturn the Constitution, of course. The way, though, it works, as Bloom said, is the way it's not an occupation tax is because it's a consumption tax. It is not a tax that
It's
can be
not
borne by
the
any of the
consumer.
resellers in the chain. It has to be borne by the ultimate consumer.
Well, the ultimate consumer, what it says, then why do they have the word purchaser?
Your Honor, I think. When you read this, the actual imposition clause, you read the next sentence in F, and then you read the anti-absorption clause, which the anti-absorption clause also says that it has to be that the sellers can't absorb it, which means it has to go to the person who ultimately purchases it outside the retail chain. I think the only way you can read that, and again, I submit that Bloom has decided this question that is imposed on the consumer. And again, I appreciate Your Honor or less interested in Judge Stanton's opinion, but I think Judge Stanton does a pretty scholastic job of looking at how Bloom construed this and why to understand Bloom and what the whole of the ordinance does, it has to have an ultimate use consumer use in the county. And if there's not a consumer use in the county, there's not a way to properly impose the
The
tax.
way it's written is so that that is not something that we have to worry about. So if it says twice in here that if the delivery is made out of the county, there is no tax. But if it's delivered in the county, there is a presumption there because of use and possession. So therefore, they are coming in and to Cook County. They could have avoided the tax by having the delivery by Sam's out of the county. Why else would there be delivery out of the county? Why would they say that twice? What? And why would they have a definition of purchaser? It seems to me you're reading all that out of the ordinance.
Well, I think when you look to 434 and 435, what's important is those are violation provisions. They're not the tax provision. So I think the best case scenario under the argument that Your Honor is suggesting is that there was, in order to do the exact same kind of economic transaction that you're describing, instead of the pickup being at the Sam's Club location in Cook County, there needed to Sam's Club needed to put it in their truck and drive it outside the county line. It's exactly the identical economic transaction. I think it would be sort of strange to say where the county has explicitly said that this kind of economic transaction is not subject to tax, that all of a sudden it's transformed into tax when it's ultimately the end consumer who matters. But my point is, even if the court thinks that there is a 434 or 435 issue, that is not how the county has brought this case
But
because.
I don't understand how you can read out. It says business of selling cigarettes in the county of Cook. And if you look up the Supreme Court cases regarding what is a business of selling, they're not in the business of selling cigarettes. You can't, are you telling me that these outside retailers are in the business of selling cigarettes in Cook County? They have to be, right?
Sorry, Yaron, can you repeat that? I didn't follow the thread.
The out-of-county retailers, were they in the business of selling cigarettes in Cook County?
Were they in the business? They were in the business of selling cigarettes. Some of that
In
activity
Cook,
occurred in
in.
Cook County.
No, I said, are they in the. They're located outside the county. Are they in the business of selling cigarettes in Cook County?
Well, in your if the upshot of the point is that they don't qualify as retail tobacco dealers, then again, that's contrary to the county's own
I
argument, and
understand.
then
We'll
the
find
county's
out.
argument falls.
We'll see what he says. But if this is a correct, that's why they have a definition of purchaser. And
And let me
that's
just say,
why.
Your Honor, if we're at this point and you're suggesting that the county's current construction is wrong, I just point the court back to the canon of saying how if the argument that you're offering is that the county to this court is presenting an incorrect interpretation of the statute, how is it that it's appropriate to charge over $300 million in tax and interest when the county to the Court of Appeals is advancing a construction of the ordinance that the court, I'm hearing the court suggest may wish to reject? I think that all points to the fact that
So you mean
at
if the party does not have a winning argument, a court must pick or choose between the arguments made by the parties? Is that the law?
Your Honor, what I'm saying is if what you're suggesting is that the county is correct, but correct on totally different grounds than they've ever articulated in this case, that just is further evidence that the statute is hopefully ambiguous or hopelessly ambiguous, and the canon would apply, and further the provision against retroactive taxes will apply. And Your Honor, one point I want to make before I run out of time to respond to your point about identifying Dixon. What we talk about in our briefs is the Illinois Bell telephone case, which is quite clear that when an agency has a reinterpretation of its own prior views, even if it's a board that has one opinion that it shifts to another opinion, what the Illinois Bell telephone case says pretty clearly is, yes, of course, an agency can do that, but it must be prospective. If it is going to have retrospective implications, you have to go through the factors of whether or not it's appropriate for retroactive relief in those circumstances. And notably, my friends, there are five factors. They don't even contest the five factors. The factors are off the charts as to why it would be inappropriately retroactive to apply a tax in these circumstances. And the county doesn't have any argument to contest that. They simply suggest that you close your eyes to retroactivity because it's been a change in their own internal construction rather than an ordinance change. And Illinois Bell Telephone, I think, suggests that's not correct.
So, Mr. Hughes, your argument simply is that neither Sam's Club nor the retailer to whom they sold these cigarettes would be consumers, correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And the
There has to be a
consumers
sale
are
to the ultimate consumer. Yeah.
to the ultimate consumer, and the ultimate consumer is responsible for the tax, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
So why don't you go ahead and explain your extraterritorial argument to us as well in your brief?
Yes, Your Honor. The challenge that we've put to Cook County is who pays the tax in these circumstances? Who, if Sam's had put the $3 tax stamp on these packets and sold them out of their store, and then all of the sales occurred as they suggest, who would have paid the tax? And the answer is nobody can pay the tax because Cook County, or sorry, Sam's and the member reseller cannot pay the tax because that makes it an occupation tax, and that would violate 433H, the anti-absorption clause, which is put into the ordinance specifically to make this not an occupation tax. So the only person who could pay it would be the purchaser at the reseller's location outside of Cook County. But again, the county doesn't say that because then it would be Cook County taxing transactions, the consumption of cigarettes outside of Cook County, which would be impermissibly extraterritorial. And so that's where the county has not come up with who actually pays the tax. I think they now agree with us that if they had announced this interpretation before, none of these sales ever would have occurred, which again, we find agreement on. And I think that points to why the imposition of a tax is deeply unfair. But it's not an answer to the question as to who can constitutionally appropriately pay this tax. The answer is no one. They've suggested in the reply brief for the first time that there could be a refund mechanism, but they've not pointed to any refund mechanism in the ordinance. At most, there is a refund mechanism for unused stamps, but in these circumstances, there are used stamps, and they certainly don't suggest that retailers or resellers would actually be appropriately be able to make use of that. Again, though, their point is, in these circumstances, by suggesting a refund would be appropriate, that no tax actually should have been paid, that this is not economic activity that is subject to tax. And that's the ultimate point here is this is not economic activity that is subject to a Cook County tax because the consumption occurs outside of Cook County.
Yeah, and give us your interpretation of what happened with the 1990s audit versus the 2016 audit. What changed?
Yes, Your Honor. So in the 2000, or sorry, in the 1990s audit, there were a series of letters that went back and forth between the parties. The first was a letter that occurred in 1995. This is at record 8,440. The county attached a schedule and explicitly excluded non-Cook resellers. What they said was, quote, "We prepared the attached schedules that list each of your business members with a business address in Cook County, as well as business members that did not indicate a business address." And then the next record is at 8,480, the August 15th, 1996 letter, where in two different places, and this is at page 8,485 of the record, the county explicitly excluded, quote unquote, cartons sold to businesses located outside of Cook County. So those are two county letters saying that the sales of this sort are excluded from the ordinance tax. Then the third letter is a May 5th, 1999 letter from Sam's to the county saying that Sam's has put in place the very procedures that we've described here today to specify the location of the business and to verify under penalty of perjury that the cigarettes purchased have the proper tax decal. That's at record 8,489. Then Sam's proceeded to adopt all of the procedures that are described at length in the briefs, and the ALJ adopted his factual findings looking at those procedures to conclude that they did in fact work. Now, Mr. Warnock testified that there was here the question, and this is at page 4,839 of the record. He was the manager of the investigators. He described how Cook stores could legally sell without the Cook County stamp. And then he was asked this question: did your understanding about the county's position change at any point in time? His answer was, yes, it did. He continued to say, we had an internal meeting and it was changed. Now, Mr. Rodriguez says it was not a change, but what he says in his testimony was there was arguing and debating. And I think what that suggests with Mr. Warnock's testimony, and Mr. Warnock's testimony was credited by the ALJ, is that Mr. Warnock certainly thought that this was not an appropriate tax. And in only in 2016, per Mr. Warnock, was that position from him and the investigators he supervised one that was changed. So we do think it's a clear change in position.
Mr. Hughes, your time is up. Any final point?
Thank you, Your Honor. I think ultimately there has to be a use by consumers in Cook County. There is no use by consumers in Cook County. You know, with respect to the early colloquy, I think Bloom squarely requires that, and that is the ultimate shortcoming here. But in any event, I think this discussion shows at most there's grave ambiguity, and the taxpayer canon would resolve any doubts here in favor of Sam's. It's not an appropriate circumstance for an enormous penalty when none of the economic activity would even occurred under if the county had provided any notice of its interpretation. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hughes. Mr. Ulrich, 5 minutes for rebuttal, and I'd also like you to confirm you were off camera during the argument. I understand you were seated off camera and that you could listen and you heard all the argument and questions. Is that correct?
Yes, I heard every word. Thank you very much, Your Honor. I appreciate it. So I'll address counsel's last point first. In terms of Mr. Warnock's testimony, if you look at Mr. Warnock's testimony and you place it next to Mr. Rodriguez's testimony, it's clear this is the fundamental difference between an auditor and an investigator. What changed it was Mr. Warnock's view about what it meant to have unstamped cigarettes at a Sam's Club Cook County location. Because after the amendments in 2006 to the ordinance, it was permissible to have unstamped cigarettes because they could be sold either to another registered wholesale tobacco dealer, or as we've talked about at some length, they could be delivered outside the county. So before that,
So you're saying that the change in 2006 makes the difference. Is that right? Is that what you're
It is important, and it's obviously not applied retrospectively because the audit period started in 2009. So
which was after the 2006 change. Question is whether that would create a different environment.
Well, it does in two respects. Essentially, what 2006 amendments did was create a situation where wholesalers like Sam's Club could essentially have a wholesale hub within Cook County. They could bring cigarettes into Cook County on a tax-free basis, so long as the initial sale was from a wholesale tobacco dealer to another registered wholesale tobacco dealer. And that's why, after we get past the concurrent period, when we're talking about March 1st, 2012 going forward, that initial sale to McLean, from McLean to Sam's Club, is no longer taxable. That's one respect. The other respect is the exemption for delivery outside of the county, which your honor has focused on. And so what that means is they can bring them in, they can store them, they can deliver them outside the county. What they can't do, your honor, is they can't sell them and deliver those cigarettes at their locations within Cook County.
But do you lose because if we interpret retail tobacco dealer as business of selling in Cook County, as opposed to, and to say that if somebody who is in the business of selling, as described in the Supreme Court of Illinois cases and Illinois cases, other Illinois cases, would you lose?
No, we would not, Your Honor, because there would clearly be possession for sale and use. So there would be the imposition clause associated with 433A would actually be an easier task for the court, because that would dispense with the exception for possession for sale by retail tobacco dealer as the second prong, that is the use prong we talked about. But in addition, as Your Honor noted, Section 433F is not dependent upon status of the retail members as retail tobacco dealers, because it is focused on purchaser. Any wholesale tobacco dealer shall collect the tax levied by this article from any purchaser.
So is the out-of-county retailer fall under the definition of purchaser?
Do they fall within the definition of purchaser?
Right.
No
party made that argument, and the court did not either, nor did the ALJ. It wasn't there. However, if you say, but depending on your answer, why is that definition there, and why is purchaser capitalized a couple places?
Because it is intended to encompass anyone that would be deemed in common usage of language to be purchaser, that is a buyer. I mean, it says including but not limited to retail tobacco dealers, retail cigarette, and consumers. So the answer is yes, regardless of whether the retail member, and again, we say out of county retailer, all that means is that they have an address outside the county. There is no certification or evidence as to where these cigarettes were ultimately sold in the final sale. But regardless, they are purchasers, and they come into Cook County as purchasers, and they purchase the cigarettes in Cook County at the Sam's Club location.
But you didn't raise that argument at any time.
Our position has been that they are retail tobacco dealers.
I know. How could they be retail tobacco dealers?
We think that being in the business of selling cigarettes in Cook County, what you do as a retailer is that you have to purchase cigarettes in order to ultimately sell cigarettes. That's part and parcel.
And why would they say in Cook County? It wouldn't matter.
Well, they did purchase the cigarettes in Cook County.
It wouldn't matter if anybody who, it says, it talks about business of selling cigarettes. Now, selling is not only purchasing. It's selling the cigarettes.
It is selling the cigarettes, and it's purchasing the cigarettes. If you don't purchase the cigarettes, Your Honor, you can't sell the cigarettes. Well, so if you're in the business.
It talks about selling. It talks about selling.
And again, Your Honor, we think that the process of selling includes the process of purchasing. But regardless, Your Honor, it doesn't matter, because this court can affirm the ALJ's judgment for any reason. And it would be a perfectly appropriate reason if the court believed that the Sam's Club retail members are not retail tobacco dealers. As Your Honor notes, the imposition clause of 433A is satisfied, the collection clause of 433F is satisfied.
Mr. Earle, though, you're contradicting yourself right now, though. You just earlier you said just the opposite. about them being retail tobacco dealers. So what are you saying? Are they not? Just be, to be
I'm
fairly
saying
bold
the
about it.
county's position is, and I'll be clear about this, that they are retail tobacco dealers. But I am responding to Justice Hyman's concerns that the court might view them as not being retail tobacco dealers because they weren't selling the cigarettes. And I think Justice Hyman is defining or looking at the definition of selling more narrowly than the county does. But my point is, Justice Walker,
because if they're retail tobacco dealers, then the tax should not be collected from them.
If they're retail tobacco dealers, the tax should be collected from them. And if they are not retail tobacco dealers, the tax should also be collected from them. So it is not outcome dispositive. And Your Honor, I'm not taking an inconsistent position. I hope you appreciate that what I'm stating is the county's position is they are retail tobacco dealers.
Yeah, you're taking a position that you win and you win and you win. Either way, you know, you're just that's the position you're taking. I win. And even if you take the opposite position, I win. And if you want to take a third position, I win. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Well, Your Honor, I am taking the position that if they're retail tobacco dealers, we win. And if they're not retail tobacco dealers, we win. That is not outcome dispositive
okay, so
because of the way the ordinance. Okay. I'm sorry.
No, never mind. Go ahead. You can finish. I'm
no,
sorry.
No. In fairness to Your Honor's question, the answer is yes, we win either way because of the fact that 433A and 433F are satisfied regardless of whether they are.
But 434 clearly says that the tax should not be collected if they're retail tobacco dealers. And that's why Justice Hyman was leading you down that road, but you decided not to go with him.
No, but Your Honor, what it says is it shall not be collected if a wholesale tobacco, it talks specifically about the exception for delivery outside of the County of Cook. The two exceptions are when there is a sale to another wholesale tobacco dealer holding a valid Cook County tobacco registration. We're not talking about that. That's post March 1st, 2012. Exception applies with respect to the McLean to Sam's Club argument. Now, 434B says you don't collect the tax sold to the following. A retail tobacco dealer. When the selling wholesale tobacco dealer delivers the cigarettes to location outside of the county. And that is the very exception that I've been discussing with Justice Hyman, that if there is delivery outside of Cook County, the tax doesn't apply. But Sam's Club did not avail themselves of that option. Instead, it delivered within Cook County, making the sales to their retailer members subject to the plain language of 433A and 433F, Your Honors.
I want to go back to my question. If I am wrong, and I could be wrong, I want you to show me that I'm wrong. Why is there a definition of purchaser? And why is it used with a capital P, which would mean it refers back to that definition?
Your Honor, it is defined to be very broad, as I said, really essentially any purchaser, any buyer, the way you would think of purchaser in standard lexicon.
They use the word, they have a small p for purchase. Why would they need to do that? I mean, they only use it a couple of times, a purchaser with a capital.
That's right, but that's where that highlights the importance of section 433F. A wholesale tobacco dealer shall collect the tax levied by this article from any purchaser. That would include anyone that buys. That includes the retail members, regardless of whether the retail members of Sam's Club are retail tobacco dealers, as we suggest they are, or not retail tobacco dealers, as I think Your Honor suggests. And that's why it's very important that definition of purchaser is critical.
Well, what happened if it wasn't there? you're saying it wouldn't have made any difference in this case?
If it wasn't there, if the definition wasn't there?
If they hadn't
well,
done it, they did it for a reason. I'm just trying to find
no,
out.
I think they did. And I would submit they did it for the reason such that it's clear that there are the Sam's Club, or a party in the position of Sam's Club, has an obligation to collect the tax on an entirely Cook County-centric transaction. Again, you can bring them in. You can bring them out on a tax-free basis. What you can't do is bring them in and sell them and deliver at your location to a purchaser and avoid the plain language of the ordinance. That's where the tax is imposed.
Thank you, Mr. Ulrich. Any more questions from the panel? Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, counsels, for your arguments this afternoon and your zealous advocacy on behalf of your clients. The case is submitted and a decision will issue in due course. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your time, Your Honors.